Welcome to another evening on Chattahoochee Creek. I'm wearing my cowboy hat because the sun, as you can see, is right in my eyes. We're going to study about cowboys in the Bible tonight. Cowboys in the Bible. Believe it or not, there were a lot of cowboys in the Bible. Abraham was a cowboy. Abraham, the 13th chapter of Genesis. Abraham, chapter 13. In Genesis, it talks about him having so many cattle. Genesis, the 13th chapter, it talks about he having so many cattle and so many sheep, that he and Lot had to part company because there was not enough land, enough grass. You have to realize at that time they were following grass. The shepherds were following grass because sheep, goats, and cattle eat a lot of grass, and they had to keep moving all the time. They were migrating all the time. And so they were following the grass. It said that Abraham had so many sheep and cattle that he had to follow the grass. And by following the grass, he could feed his herds. But they got to a point when Lot's cattle and sheep and goats and camels and oxen, whatever he had, were so they were eating so much that they could not stay in the same places. Now, in Job, the first chapter, we find another cowboy in the Bible. And I want you to understand something. I've said this in other classes, but in this sermon, they had a lot of camels. Camels means gift of God. Now, a camel is a very great animal that God gave to mankind. It can go without food or water for long periods of time, which you have to do in the desert where they lived out across the sands. And it was a great, it's like the Mack truck and the Peterbilt trucks of old time where they carried all of their loads on the camels. Now in Job, the first chapter, we find another cowboy in the Bible. Job probably lived pretty much contemporarily with Abraham. Some people say maybe even before. But let's see something about this man called Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, and fearing God, and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. He had 10 children. And his possessions also were 7,000 sheep. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which means probably 1,000 cows or bulls or whatever they were, and 500 female donkeys and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men in the East at that time. Now, camels are a gift from God, but the stallion camels are extremely dangerous. In the Middle East, they have camel fights. Camels are very, very aggressive. The male camels are extremely aggressive during the breeding season. Now, Job here was a cowboy. He had a lot of cowboys working for him. They were chasing the grass also, always chasing grass to feed their animals. Now, Isaac was a cowboy. Isaac had a lot of sheep, cattle and goats and camels. Now, we have to realize that still the camels. The camels are hard to handle. The males are, but the female people, when you see the camels going out across the desert and everything, most of those are female cattle or female camels, because the male camels are very hard to handle. They're very vicious. Even llamas in America, many cattlemen use llamas to protect their herds. The llamas protect their herds. They will fight off the wolves and the coyotes and lions. A camel and a llama, being of the same family, are very vicious. They can kill and strike. And a camel can just about, with his hind legs, can just about do 180 degrees in any directions and kick. very hard. Isaac, of course, had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, Esau was more of a playboy and just around, he was a big game hunter. He was always chasing around in the hills trying to find deer and bring home things to his father. His father was very taken by Esau, even though Esau didn't like to work much. Jacob was a worker. Jacob was the breadwinner of his family. Jacob was a very large man, very strong man. Now, the Bible talks about Jacob being afraid of Esau. Now, Jacob was not afraid of Esau because he was stronger or bigger than he is. Esau was a very vicious, cruel man. And that's why he was afraid of him. Jacob could have whooped him one-on-one anyway, I am sure. When he went to Haran and left because he had taken his brother's birthright, you know, Esau was the firstborn, but God had appeared to Rebekah and told her that the youngest would be the greatest, that the youngest would be the oldest would serve the youngest. And so God had spoken to her when she was having these two children, these twins, wrestle in her womb. Now, Rebekah knew that Jacob was supposed to be the promised son. Esau had despised his birthright in such a demeaning way, that he sold his birthright to Jacob for a single meal of the smallest, of the least valuable commodity in the land, which was lentils. Of course, he got some bread and he got some wine with it. But Jacob said, "Do you despise your..." Now, this is what he was saying. "Do you despise your birthright enough to sell me your birthright for this cheapest commodity?" And of course, he said, "Yes, yes. What good is it to me if I'm dead?" He was a man of the hour. He lived for the day only, not for tomorrow. He was not spiritual. Now, the head of the family, the firstborn, the head of the family would have many, many rights. And he would have preeminence over all the other family. And he was the one that was going to inherit the religious leadership of the family. Well, Jacob cared a lot for the religious leadership. He believed in the promises of God that he had given to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. But Esau did not care. Esau was a man of the day. He lived for this day only. Now, when Jacob went and left, now he was the one that was raising all, he guarded the animals, he guarded the cattle herds, he fought with those male camels, he fought with the lions and the bears and the wolves, from the sheep and the goats. And now he's going to leave his father and he's going to go up to Haran. And his father had him promised not to take a Canaanite wife or anything. He went back up there and he was supposed to get a wife from his mother's family. So he went up there and he met Rachel. And he met Laban. And Laban took him in. And then he promised him to give him one of his daughters. He asked him what he wanted, and he said, "Yeah, I want Rachel." Rachel means lamb. He wanted her. That was the one woman that he loved. He wanted her on her only. Jacob was probably my hero of all the biblical characters in the Old Testament. He had terrible times. He was not treated right. He was cheated in every way he turned. But yet, he tried to follow God and respect God. He wanted one wife. He ended up with four of them. And he wanted one woman. And he ended up with four. And he did the best he could, even though later in life he lost the woman that he loved. She had two children by him, Joseph and Benjamin. And those were the closest ones in his heart because they were from the woman that he loved. They were love children, so to speak. Now, Jacob began to cowboy all of Laban's cattle, his camels, his sheep, and his goats. And Laban promised him, if he worked for him 7 years, that he'd give him Rachel. Well, he worked for the 7 years. And then he cheated him and gave him Leah when he was drunk, and it was dark at nighttime in the tent. When he woke up in the morning, he realized that he had his wife now was Leah and still not Rachel. So he went back to him enraged. Now remember, Jacob is not a little guy. By the way, the name Laban means whitey. He probably had red hair, which we know Esau had red hair. And we probably believe that Rebekah had red hair. But we see that Laban was a cheat and a liar. Well, he said, if you work 7 more years, I will give you Rachel, and you can have her in 1 week if you finish your wedding week up with Leah. Well, we know that the Bible said that Leah had children right and left, but Rachel was barren. Finally, he had a son by her, and he had children by the concubines, which became his wives also. But Jacob was a cowboy. He was a cowboy. He was a sheepherder and a cowboy. Now, out in the West here, where we are, many times the cowboys and the cattlemen hated the sheepherders. But back then, the sheepherders and the cattleherders were one and the same. Now, we have another very famous cowboy in the Bible and sheepherder, and his name is David. He would become the real king of Israel. God had always promised Israel a king. He wanted them to have a king. We find that all the way back in the book of Genesis. We have the promise of the king. We have the king's going to come from Abraham's loins. Well, David would be that promised king. Now, Israel was a little bit too hasty in asking for a king, and God gave them asked for Saul. Saul means one is asked for. Now, David wrote a very beautiful psalm in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my cowboy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'll always have beautiful pastures. If you look behind me here, you will see beautiful green. You'll see a little waterfall behind me on Chattahoochee Creek. And this is a combination of Chattahoochee Creek, Middle Creek, and Davis Creek. It's a pretty well-running creek, and all along the edge of it is green grass. Now, the sheep might come up to something like this, but that waterfall would scare a sheep to death. So what David would have to do, he'd have to go out like that little stream cut in over there. I don't know whether you can see it or not, but there's a little stream come out there, and he would have to take that stream and make a pond out there where the water was still, so the sheep would be calm and not afraid of the rushing waters. They're so afraid of waters, I don't know if they think they're going to drown or whatever. Sheep will swim, but they're afraid of water. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. The quiet waters, these are not quiet waters behind me. The sheep would have a hard time with this. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He makes for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It says here, wherever I go, where the bear, where the lions, and where the tigers are, and where the wolves are, I will feel no evil because the Lord is with me to protect me. The cowboys carried 6 guns and rifles and bullwhips to fight off the wild animals as they would take them and move cattle with the grass. You always have to move cattle from rangeland to rangeland. He said, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My Colt 45 and my Winchester rifle. Your Winchester rifle, they take care of me. See, here's a cowboy that's got a Colt 45 and a Winchester rifle, so to speak, of that time. You know, Winchester, he built rifles, and Colt, it says, God created all men, but Samuel Colt made them evil. Samuel Colt made them equal. You do prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, a cowboy, wherever he lays his saddle as his pillow, and he puts his bedroll down, that's where his house is. But God said here, he said, and I will dwell in the dwelling place in the pastures of the Lord forever. Now we have another great, great, great cowboy shepherd in the Bible. In John, the 10th chapter, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We have a beautiful story of our wonderful shepherd, which is Jesus, our cowboy, our shepherd, the one that protects us with his life, the one that protects us with his sustenance, the one that protects us with his power. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the door in the fold of the sheep, but climbs up over the other way, he is a thief and a robber. Now, they're the sheep folds. That's where they would take the sheep at nighttime, and they would put them in there to protect them. They would graze them out in the pastures, but there were sheep folds all over, which was a fence and a gate in it. It had a door or a gate. And in that gate, there was no door or gate on it, but the shepherd would lay down in front of it, and any robber or any thief or any wolf or any lion or any bear would have to come over that shepherd, that cowboy of the plains, that cowboy of the fields, to get to the sheep. He said, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens it, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep know the voice of their leader, of their shepherd. The cattle know the voice of the cowboys. How many of you have heard old cowboy songs? Even the strawberry roan. Oh, that strawberry roan. His legs are all spavin. He had pigeon toes. Big Roman nose. Little pin ears that touch at the tip. A ewe neck and all, with a long lower jaw. I could tell with one eye he's a regular outlaw. In this valley down on the Oasis Ranch, in the south end of this valley, is where that strawberry baron lived. There was a mail carrier, and I cannot think of his name right now. He wrote the story of the strawberry roan, because that strawberry roan could not be ridden. There's many stories. We have the zebra dun. These are all cowboy songs. But as the cowboys would go out there and they would ride night herd on the cattle at night, they would soothe them by singing these songs. Oh, that strawberry roan, his legs were all spavin, he had pigeon toes, little pin ears to touch at the tip, a big 44 brown was on his left hip, ewe neck and all with a long lower jaw. I could tell with one eye, he's a regular outlaw. Now, they wouldn't sing that real loud. And they would sing songs that would soothe them so the cattle would feel rested and the cattle would feel safe. Because even a lightning strike, even a limb breaking off of a tree someplace would start a stampede. Now let's go on a little further. When he puts forth his hand, his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. Now, many, many times in the gate cattle, we'll have the great cattle drives of the West. The great cattle drives of the West, they would have a lead steer that would lead out all the others, and they would take him and cap him back and forth. Charles Goodnight had a steer called Blue, and he led that herd from place to place. The herds would stampede many times, but they'd have a good lead steer. Now, they would have that, but they'd also have cowboys. You'd have the lead man. We'd have the man on the corners to guide the herds, the point man, whatever. You had all these cowboys, and you had that lead steer leading out. He said, and now it goes back to the sheep here. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know his voice of the strangers. That's the same way with the cattle. You got to speak softly to cattle. You can scare them. And the same way that sheep are one of the most scary animals. They're one of the most fragile animals in body, and they're one of the most timid animals of all. You see them out there playing. We've had so many out there where I lived in Old River area. We could go down there, and I would just love to see those sheep out there playing. But you get around them, and boy, they'll run all the way to the other side of the pen. Up here, right up above here, there was a sheep camp all over these White Mountains. They'd take them up there and they'd graze the mountains off. with all the sage and everything, and there was one sheep camp up in Middle Canyon. My wife Marilyn, her friend, her husband was a shepherd up there, and there's a place up there, what was called a sheep camp, and the little bridges across there made out of these birch trees. They were laid down, and little bridges across there, and on one tree up there, there is like a medicine cabinet where they would take, and there was a mirror up there, and they would shave their faces, and they would bathe in the creek and shave their faces and cook their fires and that. And that old sheep camp, they say, is still up there high in Middle Canyon, just up the creek from where we are here. This is a combination of Middle Creek, Davis Creek, and Chattavich Creek. Middle Creek, where that place comes and flows into, that's part of the waters here from Middle Creek, right up the hill. And then Jesus said, this is a figure of speech. Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand. What are these sayings which were he had been saying to them? And Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. My sheep did not hear them because they didn't know. My cattle did not come to their calls. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. And she'll go and she'll go in and out and find pasture. She'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Many times on cattle drives, people would come in and steal. They'd stampede the cattle and get them all scattered all over the place. And then they'd pick off the stragglers and they'd kill them and slaughter them. Right here in Fish Lake Valley in the 1800s, Don Juan Lopez, came over here. He was a young man working for the Tejon Ranch. He came all the way up. He was taking sheep, all of Tejon cattle sheep. They're going to get rid of all the sheep. So he took them and he brought them all the way up to Owens Valley, crossed over at Westgard Pass, came down to Deep Springs Valley. There was plenty of water there, but they had to build streams where they would go into ponds to drink. Had a guy in there with him that was supposed to know where he was going, but he didn't. He lied to the leader of the Tejon Ranch, General Beale, and he hired him to be the leader, and he hadn't been here at all. And he'd tell him, well, go here and go there. Well, he came over into Fish Lake Valley, in the southern part of Fish Lake Valley, and started going up Lida. Well, there was a lot of water here in Fish Lake Valley because Fish Lake was very long at that time, and there were springs all over in Fish Lake Valley. You could dig a post hole 3 foot deep, and you'd have a spring here in this valley at that time because there was so many water. You had Cottonwood Creek, you have Wild Horse Creek, you have Davis Creek, Middle Creek. All these creeks ran down into Fish Lake, and there was a lot of water in this country out of the White Mountains. Well, he took them over Lida Pass and got out there by where on south of Goldfield. And he told the guy that was supposed to be the guide, he said, I'm going to go find out where the food is and find out if there's a pass here someplace. He went out there for several days, and he told him, dig a pond someplace so we can water these sheep. There's a spring there, but they won't drink from it. Well, the guy didn't do it. Don Juan Lopez, he went off, and he had a shepherd dog and a good horse. And that dog and that horse saved his life. He went off, and he completely passed out and fainted from lack of water and food. And the horse and the dog led him back home while he was unconscious. When he got back there, the sheep were scattered everywhere. They had gone. They were afraid. They were afraid of that running water. It scared them. And yet they were dying of thirst, but they wouldn't drink. Isn't that the way people are so many times? They are lost and they don't know it. They're dying of thirst and they don't know it. They think that they're doing their own things. But God is their friend. Satan is their enemy. They think they're doing their own things, but God is trying to lead them to follow His paths, to lead them to still waters where they'll drink, where they can have plenty to eat. God will take care of you. It's in a world that we live in today where things are so uncertain, yet God is a stable. He holds the whole universe together with His hand. Jesus keeps on saying here, and the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants to give you life more abundantly. Don't scatter. Don't let old Satan scatter you away from God. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm the good cowboy. I'll lay down my life. I'll fight for my herd. I'll take care of it. Many a cowboy died. Utah Carol. We have many, many, many songs that they used to sing of cattlemen that gave their life for the herds and gave the life for the shepherds. Many shepherds give their lives. I remember a story of a shepherd up on Chohon Ranch one time that a bear got after him, was killing sheep, and he got out there and whooped the bear with a shepherd rod, and he was on the side hill, and he kept circling that bear until the bear finally gave up. That shepherd gave his life, risked his life for that sheep herd. Many a cowboy have stopped. Utah Carol, the old song of Utah Carol, where he saved the rancher's daughter and his horse fell among the cattle and he died. Little Joe the Wrangler. Little Joe the Wrangler that was riding Blue Lightning. And he went out there. And he was trying to head the herd that was stampeding off. And Lightning, the old Blue, fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and the cattle trampled him. It talks about Little Joe the Wrangler's little daughter, or not little daughter, but little sister, came to looking for him when he couldn't find him. These are all cowboy songs. And this is cowboy country right here. This is cowboy country. I used to Mustang right up in these mountains right above me. I look up there and I see the peaks. I lived for 3 years down in the bottom of that trail canyon down there. And we were catching Mustangs one at a time. We'd take them down here just below me where I am on Chattavich Creek down at Jim Bias's house. He had a big tall corral. And we would train one horse at a time. We'd catch them, bring them down here and train one horse at a time and sell them to the ranchers for the greatest cow horses they could ever have. Cowboy. I was a cowboy a lot of my life. I've got horseshoe prints and teeth marks all over me from cowboys. There is a horse kicked me in there. My ears cut in two by another bronc that tried to bite my head off. They're worse. Those big stallions are just as bad as those stallion camels. Those Middle East people just don't know it. I have taken care of some of those stallions. They're like grizzly bears. I am the good shepherd. The good sheep lay down, and the good shepherd lays down his life. He who is a hireling will not, and not the shepherd who is the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf is coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Talking about that little church he's going to call out, and that little church will become a Gentile church. Ninth chapter, book of Genesis. God inspired Noah to say that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. That Japheth, that us Gentiles that are part of this other flock, are going to come to the Lord. The Bible also says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world is condemned already. We're condemned with our Master, the God of this age. Will you follow Jesus? Will you follow Jesus? Will you let him be your cowboy to protect you? Will you let him to be your shepherd? Will you allow him to be part of your life? Will you give your life to him? Will you say, Jesus, I love you. Take my life. Become the master of my life. Become my shepherd. Become my cowboy. Guide me. Spur me along in this life. Guide me every step of the way. Will you put him on the throne of your life and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul? Jesus loves you. He is the good shepherd. David was a good shepherd. David looked forward in Psalm 24 for Jesus being his shepherd one of those days. Father, I pray that this message goes out now and that you use it to lead people to you, that you use it to honor and glorify you, and forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Camera's rolling.